The circuit-riding preacher used to ride across the land with a rifle on his saddle and a Bible in his hand. He told the prairie people all about the promised land as he went riding, singing down the trail.
This is Living by the Sword with Pastor Sam and the Gospel Gunslingers, where the kingdom suffereth violence and the violent take it by force. It is a red alert. Tonight, I want to preempt most of the program, preempt most of my Bible teaching, and the greater part of tonight's broadcast will be devoted to Pastor Sam's Latin America War Report and Migrant Invasion News, because there is big news out of Latin America. Our continent is under attack. China, Red China, has unmasked, and they are making their full attack, making Argentina a full member of the BRICS. They fully intend to make Argentina their beachhead into the Americas. This is a takeover. It's very serious. We're going to go around Latin America. We're less than 2 weeks away from the vote for the presidency of Brazil, the longest and strongest, as the card players say. Economy, military, and population-wise, nation of Latin America. And institutional election fraud is now the law in Brazil. And so there will be civil war. There will be election fraud, and there will be civil war. Ahead of that, there are bombings in Ecuador, this tiny country of 17 million people. There have been over 140 attacks with explosives in their largest city of Guayaquil. This is the cost of being the one conservative nation in South America that has had their conservative presidency pass to a second leader. In Chile, Gabriel Boric, the president, known as Gabriel, with his first lady that he's not really in relationship with, Gabriel Boric has fired most of his cabinet. There was an attempt to replace the Chilean constitution, which is largely Western and free, with a communist constitution. And although this was riding high in the polls, the nation rejected it. Violent anarchy has broken out. Molotov cocktails on military vehicles and government vehicles. Destruction of infrastructure again. And Gabriel Boric responds by firing the greater part of his cabinet. All through Latin America, there is saber-rattling and unrest. Saber es sable in Espanol. There's unrest. Please stick around for Pastor Sam's Latin America War Report and Migrant Invasion News, focusing on Argentina, where in addition to assassination attempts, unrest, and violence, now they're going to become a full member of the BRICS. So if you saw this in the news, that inflation was 79%, and then it went to 100% within 2 days, all of that happened last week, and their peso is falling. Who's going to come in and save the day? China, China, China. So stick around. Our show will be action-packed and jam-packed, and you're going to hear news that you won't hear anywhere else. Please go to gospelgunslingers.com, check my blog, follow me on Twitter, follow me on YouTube, send me a letter, I'd really appreciate it. Later in the broadcast, I will give my address for prayer requests, notes, hate mail, of course, and donations. So stick around, I'm Pastor Sam, and we are the Gospel Gunslingers.
I can't believe I'm hearing this because I've already known this to be true for some time. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. What Sam's saying about these practices coming here, the cartel is absolutely in charge of our border. And I'm going to add to what Sam is saying. And so, Sam, when people say, Dave, you're a little strong in your language saying Biden's a traitor, I would say I don't go far enough. I just don't want my door kicked in by the FBI and shot in the head. Because this man is an enemy of the state, and there's no question about it. We got time to go into Bolsonaro, the president of Brazil, and he's facing an important election, and he is not pro-communist, but his adversaries are, and they'll make South America a greater threat to America. So what's going on in the Brazilian conflict there?
there will be civil war after this election because the corrupt...
Either way.
Well, the election will be stolen from him by Dominion machines, by fraudulent election courts, and you and I have done some great broadcasts on that about how Dilma Rousseff got elected and the Supreme Electoral Tribunal issued her a diploma. And so this is 2.5 presidencies ago, they were stealing elections unabashedly. And then Bolsonaro won by a huge landslide of the voice of the people that overcame and swamped all the fraudulent activity, and he legitimately took the presidency. But now, here again, just like 2020 in the USA, they have doubled down on their fraudulence. And so the corrupt judges, the corrupt government, you know, Trump has a law on the table that's going through Congress that would allow him as chief executive to fire people deeper down in the government bureaus, in the State Department. And that is what Trump could not do. Someone asked me about Trump when he entered the presidency, and I said, I don't think even Donald Trump could fire enough people. He was known for saying, you're fired. I said, I don't think even Donald Trump could fire enough people to bring America back. And lo and behold, that proved to be true. So much so that there's a new law that if he gets back in the White House, he can fire more people further down. So Bolsonaro has not been able to fire deep enough down into his bureaus, into the judgeships. But what he has done is he's brought the military in. Many military members have run for chief of police, run for mayor, run for Congress, run for Senate. In fact, and the lefties are pissed, The Intercept is so livid about this, that they can collect their public salary and stay in the military and collect their military pay. And boy, the leftists are just livid about it. But this is how Bolsonaro has rebuilt his government due to not being able to can all of those civil servants that are dyed-in-the-wool leftists. And so we're going to see an outbreak of civil war. There's a lot of talk, and it's been on the Drudge, it's been on all the big news feeds, that the Supreme Court in Brazil outlawed new firearm purchases and new ammunition purchases because they're concerned about violence in the election. And you know how many
I have a reaction to this, Sam. Russia and China will jointly back Bolsonaro's opponent for obvious reasons. Biden won't lift a finger to help. In fact, I would say he'll probably help the other side.
It was the leftist governments before him that sidled up to China. That's why Brazil is the bee in the bricks, because Dilma Rousseff planned all that, worked with the Chinese, and we're going to be good communists in the Americas. And this is why the BRICS wants Argentina, because they will be the lockstep, faithful servant, satellite, client state of China, where Brazil, under Bolsonaro, has not been. But Bolsonaro is friends with Putin. And, the headlines in Spanish and Portuguese went wild because Bolsonaro went to Moscow and met with Vladimir Putin the very week before the invasion in February of this year. He went to Moscow, chatted up Putin, and Putin knows that just like Russia is having to fight for their life and their border security against all comers, Brazil will have to do the same. So this is the division within the BRICS. There's the Chinese client state side, and there's the Russian side, and I'm going to also disagree with J.R. Nyquist. This is not one cohesive bloc. There's a nationalist faction that's represented by Brazil, India, and Russia, and then there's China and South Africa, and this is why they want Argentina so badly to be part of the BRICS. They're going to come in and save or replace the Argentine peso, but they are going to absolutely run Argentina as a client state, and there will be purges and bloodshed because of that. There was a systematic collapsing of the Argentine peso ahead of that, and then when Hillary took over in 2017, the whole plan was for China to come in and assimilate Argentina. Then, even though they had a conservative president in Argentina at that time. And so, this has been planned for some time. If you look at the ups and downs, and in Argentina, there's definitely ups and downs between getting help from the U.S., for example, the IMF, to keep their currency propped up, and getting help from China, which, by the way, right now there's currency swaps between the Argentine peso and China, and now talk of, we're going to join the BRICS. And when they join, that buying of their bonds props it up on the international market.
Yeah, that lets them step out of their debt. It almost gives them a foreign currency in addition to their domestic currency. And I'm sure the price is steep for Argentinian sovereignty with regard to China.
Well, right now, with the leftist government, the whole intent is to sell the nation out completely to the Chinese. They have their space base on the Patagonian plain where they observe all ICBMs, all satellites, and all aviation in the southern hemisphere. And during the four-year presidency of Mauricio Macri, a good friend of Trump, they were unable to deal with that and get it deconstructed. In fact, if anybody goes into my YouTube or BitChute and starts with the verse of the day for gospel gunslingers, the very first one I tell about Trump landing in Buenos Aires and God shaking the city with a mighty earthquake as Donald Trump went to meet with Mauricio Macri. This is lesson one in the Bible verse of the day for gospel gunslingers. So please go look at that, and you'll see how long we've been watching these things happen. The battle that there's been not only in the earth, but in the heavens. And Dave, I just want to bring this home to everybody. You talk a lot about protecting your assets, about gold, about things that you can do in the event of a currency collapse. And I want to just tell how close this is to home. This is in the Americas. Argentina is a jet power. They're a nuclear power. They build nuclear power plants around the world. They're very smart, very civilized, great cities. Buenos Aires is the Paris of the Americas, and I've been there. It's so beautiful. But when I was there, it was 1-to-1 with the Mexican peso. Mexican peso and the Argentine peso were 1-to-1, 17 to the dollar. Right now, the Argentine peso is 0.15 Mexican pesos. So if somebody had 100 pesos, $100, 100,000, 100 of anything, right now they've lost 85 and they've only got 15. And then if you consider also that the dollar itself has dilapidated, that there's consumer pricing and commodity price increases that are unrelated to the currency, well, right now you're dealing with somewhere between 5 and 10 cents left out of a dollar that was 5 years ago. And so any savings that anybody had in Argentina has been wiped out by inflation. And this can happen anywhere. It can happen in the United States. That whole interview is up on thecommonsenseshow.tv. Thank you, Dave Hodges of thecommonsenseshow.com, for having me guest so many times on his program and helping me to get the word out. He may join us on WBCQ full-time. We'll see whether he comes on over, but he's certainly welcome. He's a great conservative voice and much appreciated throughout the world. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. That's Joel chapter 3, verse 10. When we talk about the last days, when we talk about the last days revival, and I'm a believer in the last days revival, it's important that we do not differentiate the outbreak of war from revival that's coming. This is, Joel also tells about the plowman overtaking the reaper. The reaper, of course, bringing in the harvest of souls, and the plowman destroying the world. And so this is what's happening in our time. More in this passage says, prepare war, verse 9. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. This is why I am re-establishing the gospel from a non-pacifist perspective. The Bible is full of these beautiful things. Cause thy mighty ones to come down, O Lord. I'm going to give you my mailing address. It's 7107 South Yale Avenue, Yale, number 434, Tulsa, Oklahoma, 74136. Send me snail mail. Throw a dollar in there if you like. I do answer all my requests, and we pray for the sick, and we have some good results. So let's change the order of the service just for a moment. I'm only going to play this one Bible verse because we're pressed for time with all of the global geopolitical issues and all the outbreaks of war and conflict and intrigue around the globe. So let's just look at this one, but I'm going to give you a little bit of background on it. I had two different partners, people that I had made friends with, and in one case been to their home, discussed business, done a lot of things, done many events together, and I did something. I crossed a red line in those relationships. I asked them for something. And a lot of times, that's a red line for people. And if it is, listen, I know everybody's burnt. Everybody's burnt from the church world the way that it's been. Everybody's hurt from that. And that there's real error. Somebody asked me the other day, actually pinned me to the wall holding a little baby and said, "I think you've got church hurt." And I said, "Yeah, I admit it. But I hurt churches back. So we've got that going for us." It's true. It's true. If there are corrupt works, the Lord has his servants that will make inspection of that and remove their candlestick. And I myself have done it many times. So I understand that people are burned. But as we move into it, a new paradigm, a new economy, a war zone mentality in the world. The whole idea of the butcher on one corner and the policeman on the next and people having their paying money for everything, it's going to pass away. We're going to have to help one another. You know what else is going to pass away? People helping distressed motorists. It's going to come back because right now somebody breaks down, they're out there on their cell phone, the tow truck, or their good buddy, their uncle is there immediately. They don't have to depend on a stranger and take the risk of talking to a stranger. And all of that is going to pass away and we're going to move into a war zone economy, a war zone diplomacy. And I hope that each listener, I hope that each American can learn a little bit from our forefathers about how people interacted before we were in this modern age where people had to help one another and people had to borrow a cup of sugar here and there and it was not just a pretext for a booty call. So I'd like you to consider this. And oh, one more thing. If that's a red line in people's lives, I'm going to make a point to just push it pretty early in the relationship. You know, another friend of mine who actually passed away this week, somebody else that I was close to and did events with and did broadcasts with, and he's gone. He's gone. Greg Hustis, Greeley, Colorado. I was in his home, and as I was leaving, the Spirit of the Lord said, "Ask him for something." And I said, "Lord, I don't want to be an offense to this guy." And the Lord says, "Right there it is." And sure enough, he had a yellow bottle of Prestone antifreeze right there in his garage. And he knew my car was leaking. And I said, "Hey, one more thing before I go." I said, "You know I got a coolant leak." I said, "Give me that yellow bottle of antifreeze you got right there." I said, I need to put that in my car." And he looked over and saw that he had it. He was uncomfortable that I'd asked him for something, even something very, very small. Not a great favor. He wasn't requesting that I do like David did and bring all of the cartel country into civility. You know, that's what David did. He was in the most dangerous bad land, hiding out like an outlaw in the hill of Hebron, in this mountain wilderness, and it was full of monsters. It was full of wolfmen and offspring of giants and God knows what else. And David was up there with his men. And what does David remind the man that he asked for something? That he had come into cartel country and that he had tamed the waste howling wilderness and protected that man and his wealthy ideal of civility. The one who had protected it for some time was David and his ninjas that lived with him in exile while they were waiting, as I am, for their nation to either poop or get off the pot, to decide whether it was ever going to be great again, whether they were going to restore that nation, or whether it was just going to fall into collapse and be invaded by enemies. So I asked this man for a bottle of antifreeze, and he had a very strange look on his face. He looked over at that antifreeze, and he went and got it and gave it to me. And I put it in my car right then. And I like to think that we crossed the Rubicon there early in our relationship. And I would encourage you, people that are close to you, ask them for something. And if they freak out, if they wig out, if they act like you've committed the unpardonable sin, you know what? Just distance yourself from them. And there's two people that I decided I'm never going to call again. I'm done knocking on their door because they freaked out when I asked them for something simple. And all of you out there, right now I'm going to ask you for a donation. I'm a poor missionary. I'm the Lord's servant out in the waste howling wilderness. Would you think about sowing a seed? Just go to gospelgunslingers.com. There's two different buttons you can click and my mailing address. You can put a dollar bill in an envelope and send it right there. And you know what? I feed a lot of hungry kids. It would be a big blessing to me. By the way, I need a saddle right now. We talk about caballeros. I am a horseman. The Lord told me over 20 years ago to master horsemanship for missions. I worked all summer one year as a cowboy on horseback, if you could believe that, when I was in my 20s. And right now, I'm training a horse. I got my bit. I got my bridle. I do not have a saddle. What a shame. You want to buy me a saddle? Probably $500 to do it. That'd probably even buy my lariat rope and my chaps. You got to have chaps when you're out in the rough, thorny country. All right, here's your verse of the day. God bless, and think about it. Think about what you're going to give to others and what you're going to ask for. I saved a couple of distressed damsels the other day. They were about to leave the coffee house with their flat tire. And in the end, they offered me many things, and I said to them, this is what caballeros do. This is what gentlemen do, is we help young ladies in distress. It was enough of a blessing just to know that the name of the one girl was Abigail, Abigail, a wise woman of the Bible. And I'm going to tell you about Abigail and how she honored the prophet today in your GospelGunslingers.com Bible verse of the day. I'm Pastor Sam, and before I get into the gory details, I want to tell you how we averted this disaster. I mean, these were two young ladies in their 20s, nurses, dressed in white, done nails, and they were going to run their little red Volkswagen Beetle into the Barrio Negro, into the rough neighborhoods, and they're probably have a breakdown. So all I did was help them with their tire. It was a very easy thing to do, and I told them, this is what caballeros do. A caballero is a gentleman. Literally, it's a horseman. Literally, it is a mounted knight. So if you go to Latin America today, that is the same word. A gentleman is referred to as a mounted knight. And in the tale of Abigail, the prophet David was himself even a foot soldier. He fought on foot as a leg, even with a giant's sword. And I'm going to tell you what he did. Let's just run to 1 Samuel 25. This is verse 22 and 23. You see, his men had guarded the waste town and wilderness and the inheritance of Caleb in the mountain of Hebron, which was Kirjath Arba. This was where Arba, the famous giant, lived. And the sons of Arba and the sons of Anak were slain by Caleb. And Caleb's descendants lived there. But hundreds of years later, it was a wilderness again. And it was just full of danger of every sort. And David and his people, they were all professional gunfighters. But they kept that wilderness under control, and they tamed it. I'm going to read you a little bit ahead. This is verse 6. Thus shall ye say to him that liveth in prosperity, peace be both to thee, and peace be to thine house, and peace be unto all that thou hast. And now I have heard that thou hast shearers. Now thy shepherds which were with us, we hurt them not, neither was there aught missing unto them all the while they were in Carmel. David and his men, they were professional gunfighters, and they let it be known that they didn't take any scores. But you know what? This man railed on them. And here's verse 22. So and more also do God unto the enemies of David, if I leave of all that pertain to him by the morning light any that pisseth against them all, against the wall. He was going to slay every male. And when Abigail saw David, she hasted and lighted off the ass and fell before David on her face and bowed herself to the ground.
I love it. David said he was going to slay all of Nabal's house that pisseth against the wall. All males, he said, everyone who pees standing up. And not only did he say it, he swore an oath to God that he would destroy every male out of that household. Amazing. The Bible is full of these war stories. And it tells us, you know, I give a lot of bad news with my Latin America war report. I tell how wars draw
drawing nigh to America, and how it is raging other places in the world. In South America, there has been an ongoing 5-year raging battle between the free world and the communist world, between Free China, the Republic of China, that is Taiwan, and Red China, the PRC, and the People's Liberation Army, that's supporting all the cartel activity all the way up to the Mexican border and deep tentacles into the United States. Let's read a little more about David's attitude and about how he overcame. We need to know how the Lord's overcomers overcame and what their attitude was, because the Bible tells us all about it. What did David say? You know, he said, "I come to you in a good time." This is what his servants communicated. "We come in a good day." I'm in an agricultural region where there are raging harvest parties. And if you don't know how farmers are, especially in a poor country, there are raging parties when the harvest comes in. And David knew this was going to happen. His men could hear it from up the mountain that the sheep shearing was going on and that there was going to be plenty in this wealthy man's house. And so, what's the report? Let's look at verse 14. "But one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, 'Behold, David sent messengers out of the wilderness to salute our master,' and he railed on them." They didn't come and say, "Oh, they came begging. They asked for a bunch of stuff. They wanted to take all of our grub." No. "David sent messengers to salute our master, and he railed on them." The fact is, they did ask for things because they came in a good day. And here's what the servants said. The servants respected their local gunfighters. Verse 16, "They were a wall unto us, both by night and by day. All the while we were with them, keeping the sheep." And then they say, "Evil is determined against our master." And sure enough, it was. And the Lord's people determine evil. They determine destruction against their adversaries in the earth. And this is part of our heritage as servants of the Lord. We're a small people. We're a peculiar people that the Lord chose for His name to dwell. Those of us that keep the Sabbath. Those of us that are named with the name of Jesus. I was just worshiping the Lord with the song that says, "Levanto a mi mano para que todos vean, que todos vean, que todos vean." I will lift up my hand so that everyone sees, so that everyone can see, so everyone can see. Cristo es mi Señor. Christ the Lord Jesus is my Lord. There's a point where we have to be proud of the reproach of the cross. And when we are, that's when the Lord will help us as we stand against our enemies. There's so much going on in the world. There is war raging throughout South America. It's coming to America. There are so few dominoes left. And just wait until Brazil pops. It is inevitable. But I'll tell you some good news. There's all this worry and concern about the gun owners of Brazil because under the Bolsonaro presidency, there have been about 400,000 Brazilians who have become private owners of firearms, rifles and pistols, shotguns, different things. You know how many we have in the USA? Over 400 million. There's 1,000 guns in the USA for every gun in private hands in Brazil. And still, the New World Order, the evil globalists are so concerned about those 400,000 gun owners. Already, there is what Americans would call vigilante activity. I would call it being a good neighbor. If there's a crime caught in progress, people just run that crook over right there on the street. Search it on the internet. It's interesting to see. The Bible tells us that as war covers the land, how we wake up the mighty men, how we beat our plowshares into swords. And it's time to do that. Let's come together as the free world. Let's plan our defense. Let's plan how to stand for our lives and not just be led away as sheep to the slaughter. Because we are the sheep of the Lord's pasture, but we are also the servants of the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And take a look at my favorite Bible verse, Micah 5, verse 8, comparing the remnant of Judah in the last days to a lion, where All of the shepherds in the world can't keep him from his task to bring destruction to the enemies of God and to the enemies of their community. God bless everyone. I'm Pastor Sam.
The preacher used to ride across the land with a rifle on his saddle and a Bible in his hand. He told the prairie people all about the promised land as he went riding, singing down the trail.